reason I'm going to not give you permission to sit and see if you stand for the whole time. A couple of quick announcements. One has to do, again, just a reminder, since we are still in the situation where our music is by video track. These are coming to us from England, and they speak a different English than we do. As you know, it is our language first. And there will be times that the lyric on the screen isn't exactly what we sing. And sometimes it will be a completely different word, and it may cause you to like, what is that? I give you permission to sing it the good old American English way, or to ignore the words on the screen as long as you're singing what you know is how we have sung it. So I ignored one of the transitions just because. So just to let you know, that's what's going on with there. Also, you probably noticed we are in the middle of doing some work in the facility. Last week was the first week in which we had part of our sound system installed, which is glorious. There is no radio sound. So I will, in previous times when I was preaching, I would pause, and it was either pause or allow you to get distracted by Britney Spears. And so I reined the pause in and just ran with it. Now I can pause as long as I want without feeling like you're going to be distracted by something bizarre. We're thankful for that. We're also looking forward to have the lighting system installed, which we can finally take a good video of what's going up on here on stage. And I guess the cat's not out of it. When you came in, the world map has been stripped from the wall. It's not because we are no longer a mission-minded church. We didn't go, you know what, we're tired of sending money across the world, so we're going to get rid of this and not feel obligated to do it anymore. Lowe's is in the process of doing some charity work here for us. Maybe some carpet, certainly some paint, and when we talked about them coming in, doing maybe the ceiling, a new ceiling, maybe a new floor, and painting in the foyer, we thought, well, if we're ever going to do a renovation of the foyer, it'd be nice if the whole place was painted fresh in the same color. And so last week we made kind of a snap decision to pull that down. We can always put the missionary plaques back up the way we had them, or thinking about re-engineering a whole different way of showing missions there. But the thought was, gosh, they're going to give this work to us. Could be a lot of hours of work. We might as well take advantage of it and to help them. So that's what's going on out there. We haven't quit missions. So there's that. Wednesday night, Bible study in here. We're looking at the Ten Commandments at 6:30. Manor House Fellowship, the Indian church that meets here on our campus in a couple of hours every Sunday. I'm in conversation with Pastor Moses, and we're looking to have a Sunday together at the end of October. He's going to get back to me with a date. I've given him a couple Sundays, and basically it'll look like this. They will join us for our service. Then we will feast on food, hamburgers, hot dogs. What is it I like? Biryani, tandoori chicken, extra spicy maybe. And then we'll come back and we will join them for their service. And we're looking forward to that opportunity. They are a blessing to us, and we're simply glad that we can share this facility that God has given us with a church that is looking to reach the Indian population in this part of our state. But they're coming from New Jersey, and they're coming from Pennsylvania as well. So this is a strategic area. And then there's this. We are looking forward to our time together at the Candlelight Theater in December. Most of the tickets are spoken for. Some of you are here today, and you want to write a check for your ticket. It is $52.50. Make it out to Calvary. Get it to me. And I'll make sure Andy gets it and takes care of that in an appropriate way. I believe I have in between 3 and 5 tickets that are available for as people to come along later. But take care of that as soon as you can. And then also the last thing before Marina comes up and reads our scripture is I send out an email almost every week. Sometimes there's a couple of emails that go out each week with prayer requests or with calendar events that are going on. And the only way for you to get those emails is for me to have your email included in the distribution list. Some of you are new enough and you don't get emails. If you're not getting emails, either I have completely blanked on the information or I don't have your information, or you haven't given me permission to send you an email. On the tables in the back where we take the offering, and by the way, we do take offering at this church. I know I never talk about it, but we do take offering. It's in the black boxes on the back or online for those of you at home. But if you want to get the email distribution from me on a weekly basis, pick up one of these, fill out the information, and give it to myself or to Becky. That feels like a lot of announcements. Well, they're over with now, so thank God for that. Marina's going to come up, and she's going to read our text. Our text comes from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, it's going to be verses 25 through 29. And just by way of review, last week we talked about the fact that we have not been brought to Mount Sinai, the earthly place where God's holiness was visible and was felt, and it caused God's people to shrink back in fear because God was holy and they were not. But we have been brought to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the location where the holy God touches his people and makes them holy. And rather than shrinking back in fear, we are invited to come near. And today is going to continue with that thought, the Mount Sinai versus Mount Zion difference. Marina, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29.
Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes and bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture this morning. We are so indeed grateful that we belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So no matter what seems to be shaking around us, Father, help us today to not only be grateful, but to hold on to that kingdom which cannot be shaken, to your word which never changes, which cannot be shaken, to you who never changes and who cannot be shaken, O Father God, and help us to move forward in faith. Amen. So that every step we take is a step of faith, Lord God. We pray that right now you strengthen Pastor Brian as he brings forth the word for us. May it be your very own words from your heart to our heart.
Amen.
And prepare the hearts and minds of people right here today, that the word falling in their hearts might produce a hundredfold fruit in their lives in the coming days. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And go ahead and do yourself a favor and just keep your Bible open. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can find our texts there, available for ready use. But in these verses, which Marina just read, we're given another contrast to the speech that God spoke on Mount Sinai, which caused the people to shrink back in fear, and in fact said, if you touch this mountain, you're going to be stoned. And his speech to us in these end times, at Sinai, God's voice shook the earth. And Exodus chapter 19, verse 18 says, the whole mountain trembled greatly. That shaking, it foreshadows a coming day when God will speak once more according to our text,
And this time his voice will shake not only the earth, but it will shake the heavens. Everything will be shaken so that the shakable things, they experience a shaking. The words of this promise, and they are a promise, this is going to happen, come directly from Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6. And since this, we'll call it the end time shaking, will result in the removal of everything that has made, we might think, well, we should be fearful in the same way that the Israelites were fearful because we've been made. We might think that after this shaking, the universe itself and everything in it will be obliterated and done away with. We might think that only God will remain. But there's comforting assurance for us. You and I created beings in the image of God. And that comfort is this. God has a kingdom. And we have been made part of that kingdom. We have received that kingdom. We have been brought into this kingdom, which, along with God himself, cannot be shaken. Therefore, verse 28 encourages us. Let us be grateful for receiving this kingdom, this unshakable kingdom, this kingdom that cannot be shaken. Loved ones, we have not been brought to the mountain that can be touched and that can be shaken. We have been brought to the city of the living God. We have been brought to the New Jerusalem. We have been brought to Mount Zion. And there, the sin that once stood against us and caused us to shrink back in fear carries along with the promise that the one who made us has saved us. And he has forgiven us of our sin. So the final end time shaking is not going to touch us. Rather than shrink back in fear, we can boldly approach God's throne of grace and find mercy there. See, the kingdom of God was the primary theme of the preaching of Jesus while he was on this earth. He went and he proclaimed, the kingdom of God has come. And where the kingdom of God comes, the kingdoms of this world, they have to shrink back. They have to bow down. They have to make way. They have to part. They have to make room for the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that is so unshakable that when everything else in this world has been shaken, it stands. When everything else in this world has been dissolved, it is undissolved. And the good news for us, the good news for me, the good news for you, the good news for you at home is that God has given us the gift of the kingdom and we have received it according to our text. Believers in Jesus are heirs of salvation. We are the many sons spoken of in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. The many sons whom God is bringing to glory. We are called brothers and sisters, in fact, by Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 references God's people as brothers and as sisters. And it is Jesus himself who gives us this comfort that when all is said and done, when the worst has come to this planet, we're going to come through, refined by fire, yes, but we're going to come through pure. Jesus gives us this comfort. On this earth, he said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. From the foundation of this world, God has had you and I in mind. And when he sees the end of our life, he sees us with him eternally in the kingdom he's prepared. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is our Father's good pleasure to give us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 28 through 30, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom that you may eat and you may drink at my table in my kingdom. This is good news, and it comes to us from the mouth of Jesus Christ as comfort. Those of us who are part of the United States right now certainly feel like there's a great shaking going on, right? It really doesn't matter what opinion you have. Your opinion is so different from so many other people that it just feels like our nation is shaking and there seems to be no way that we're going to make it through. And to be honest with you, I don't know what future God has for the United States. My prayer and my desire is that he moves us forward and he brings us to a place of great unity. And we become a blessing to this world in every way that we possibly can. But if that's not the way he chooses to move in the United States in the future, you and I belong to a higher kingdom. One that cannot be shaken. One that will endure. One that will, though fire should fall, it will stand. And if our first allegiance is to the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean we don't work hard to see that kingdom established on this planet, especially in the nation which we are a part of. But it does mean we don't have to fear what's going on in the United States right now, the shaking that is taking place. And so, you know what happens when you're fearful? You get paralyzed. And you become unhelpful. When you are afraid, there's usually an object of your fear, and it's not always a nebulous. I can't really define what's going on. It has a face. And so we find ourselves living as if we are the enemy of people with different opinions than we have, as opposed to understanding that our warfare is not against those who have different opinions than we do. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, it's against powers to try to control all of our emotions. And the appropriate response to the fact that we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken is gratitude. We offer up worship in gratitude, with reverence, and with awe. Look at verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 12. And most of our time together is going to be right here. Actually, it's going to be on the word gratitude most of our time. Therefore, since we've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. So we're going to spend just a little bit of time looking at gratitude. We're going to spend much less time looking at reverence and less time looking at awe. Gratitude. How many of you are familiar with the hymn, Count Your Blessings? Most of us are familiar with that song. If you're one of those who like that song, I congratulate you. It's worth liking. But I don't know why. It feels like a goofy ditty to me. Can I say that? Here, let me get from out behind the pulpit. But there's wisdom here. Whether you like the melody or not. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Anybody ever been there? Yes. Have you been there this last year? Yes. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Yes. Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Yes. Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly. And you will be singing as the day goes by. The last half of that verse is tough for me. When you look at others with their lands in gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. There's wisdom here, loved ones. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And back in the day, hey, that Pentecostal pastor would make you hold a song forever. You know that guy, right? Name them one by one. You know that guy. You've had him lead you in worship, right? And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I don't know why we do that, but it's a great start. It's actually incredible wisdom. But then what? Gratitude. Take the listing, take your ponderings, take your meditation on God's goodness to you, which sometimes takes a lot of work to get past the difficulty and the heavy burden and the disappointment of life. Sometimes it takes a lot of work to get through that and to remind yourself, oh, the Lord has been good to me. And here's the evidences of the Lord's goodness to me. And after we have pondered that, the next step is not to move on, oh, you know, this is great, it was a great ditty. The next move is to give vent, to give thanks. I want to say that's what you want to do. When you are mindful of God's gifts, when you're mindful of His generosity towards you, when you're mindful of His mercy, when you're mindful of His grace, when you're mindful of His heart that comes towards you, of His disposition that is one of open-armed welcome rather than armed cross disgust, there's something in you that wants to say thank you. And so, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and give God the glory for the good that He has done may be an appropriate verse. Speak to the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Now, I don't know, in this room, it's probably true that some of us have told a joke or we've at least heard a joke about the crazy environmentalists who hug trees. It's a joke, right? These tree huggers. Can I say that in the absence of a belief in God, that is the most logical thing for anybody to do? When you find yourself in the great redwood forest, and before you there's towering beauty of these rock-solid trees that have been there for centuries, I will tell you, whether you know it or not, there is something in you that... And in that moment of amazement, you want to say thank you. When you stand on the rim of the Grand Canyon and it takes your breath away, you want to say thank you to someone. And if you don't have a faith or a confidence in God, you can't receive this as a gift from somebody who thought of you, somebody who's in control, somebody who created this universe, this planet, as a wonderful playground for His people to live in and to experience and to enjoy. There's something in us when you stand at the side of the Grand Canyon. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see this whole. I hear the raging rapids. Oh, how great Thou art. In the absence of a confidence in God, people want to give thanks to something. And so they worship the creation, as Romans says, rather than the Creator. And that's what this environmental movement that causes people to treat it almost as if these are religious gods. They're trying to give voice to their heart that says there is a God. And they just misplace the praise. They misplace the gratitude. It makes sense. When you held your baby for the first time or your grandbaby for the first time, it brought tears to your eyes, a smile on your face, and you wanted to say thank you. And so you go to your wife and say, hey, babe, thanks. Well, you're welcome. You know how this happens, right? Thanks has to go beyond something like that. Count your blessings. Here it is. Let your gratitude out. Let your gratitude out for everything extraordinary. From redwoods to mountains to forests to rivers to beaches to sunsets to sunrises to incredible storms to babies to families that are operating well. Let your gratitude out. Get it for the extraordinary things. This ought to be easy, right? You prayed, Lord, I am out of work and I need a job. And He gives you a job that takes care of your family. The most ordinary, the easiest thing for us to do ought to be, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the extraordinary. We go to the hospital because we're fearful that a disease may have found itself on our lives. And they run the test And it turns out we're negative. Well, thank you, Lord. You go to the doctor who's been walking you through a series of months, a series of difficult years. The diagnosis was bad. You did indeed have cancer. And then there comes a day when he says, can't find cancer anywhere. The most ordinary thing to do is thank you to somebody. Thanks, doc. Absolutely. But our praise goes beyond what is right here, right now, to the one who created doctors and created those who can help us process through our disease. Give God glory for, give him gratitude, show him your thanks for the extraordinary things. Then, hear me, give him the gratitude he deserves for the ordinary things. The job that you prayed for, and you are now 5 years in, and you were tired of it. Huh? Give God gratitude for that job. There was a day when you said, thank you, Lord, for this. You're going to take care of my family with this. You're going to provide for my future for this. And now you can't stop belly aching because it's not what I thought it was going to be. The job that you gave me, well, it turns out it's a little bit harder than I first thought it was going to be. The job that you gave me and I gave you praise for, honestly, it would be great if it weren't for all the people there. Specifically, there's this one guy, there's this one lady who makes this job a total downer. Can I say that when you turn the blessings of God into a daily curse, you rob from God glory that he deserves, and you rob from yourself the peace that you ought to have. It's the easiest thing to do. To, as you distance yourself from the miracle of the provision, to become more and more disaffected with the daily provision. Isn't this what the Israelites did in the desert? Here's your daily provision. Well, you know, it was great the first week. But good Lord, manna again? Again? The provision that's getting God's people from their place of bondage to their place of freedom, and God's people are cursing that. And we do the same thing. We all have things about our job that get under our skin. Is there an amen there? And if we live there, we will rob ourselves of the peace that we ought to have, the confidence we have that God's in our lives, and we will curse the provision of God. It ought not to be that way. But it's the easiest thing to do. It ought to be easy to give God glory for everything that he's done, for the initial answer to prayer and the ongoing answer to prayer, but we find they have the ability to wrestle some difficulty out of it. You know, what ought to be easy becomes difficult for us. Are you at the place in your life where, you know, well, here, my experience with the phone calls from my son are a little different from the experience that my sister-in-law has with her son and daughter. And they're not going to watch this, so I feel okay about this. Our experience when it comes to getting calls from our son is they don't happen. Ugh. So we're frustrated by the fact that they don't happen. It ought to be something that's a little more ordinary. My sister-in-law, on the other hand, gets calls from her kids every day, all day, every day. And so the phone call comes and silent. Usually answer. Oh, to have that kind of ordinary everyday experience, to roll my eyes when my son calls me. And so the daily blessing to have a son that's involved in your life, a daughter, can become a burden. We forget sometimes. And the fact that we have a son who, though doesn't call us, loves the Lord, loves his wife, is involved in his church, God has provided for him, I ought to, moment by moment, have the wherewithal to give thanks to God for what he's doing in my life, son, while I'm saying, Lord, would you cause him to call me a little bit more often? That's okay. But we take the ordinary, and rather than finding joy in it, we can wrestle from it really bad things. And I think we're called to give God gratitude in the disappointing things of our life. Disappointing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Not necessarily for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, here's what I'm not suggesting, or what I'm not doing. I'm not up here with a whip saying, write a thank you letter like my mom used to do for Christmas for me. I don't know if you had that mom, or if you're that kid who needed to be reminded. And it was always like this, write a thank you letter, or you're not going to get Christmas presents next year. It's not the enforcement of something we ought to do. It's the encouragement that with a true heart of spontaneous gratitude, we actually do respond. And we do reflexively worship God with gratitude and appreciation. For everything we have heard that is good, for everything that we've heard that is difficult and hard, for the ordinary things, find an avenue of gratitude. When you hear of some really bad news, Lord, I thank you that you were with that family in the midst of this very difficult circumstances, and my prayer is that you will make your presence known to them. There's a way to express gratitude in the worst of times. For the things that we have heard, for the things that we have heard, for the things that we've experienced, that we've received, there is value in gratitude, loved ones. To give God gratitude in the extraordinary, it keeps us humble. To give God gratitude in the ordinary days of life keeps us connected to God. Because as we go on and on and on and on, it's just another day. It's just another day. What'd you do? I woke up, I had breakfast, I went to work, I came home. I was really tired. I talked about how tired I was. I tried to watch something, I took a nap, I went to bed. And then what happened the next day? Well, it's just what happened today. What happened? What's going to happen next Tuesday? Same thing that happened last Tuesday. What's going to happen in October? Same thing that happened in September. Maybe this is why, you know, I don't call my mom that much, because of what I have to say. Oh, maybe that's going on with my kid. Just living the ordinary life, we feel like we have no life. Many of us will say, I got no life. Loved ones, this is life. And it doesn't mean it's bad. Giving God gratitude, showing it to him in the extraordinary keeps us humble, in the ordinary keeps us connected to God, and in the disappointing thing keeps us hopeful. Keeps us hopeful when the news is bad. So we are called in this scripture to be grateful. Can I show you just how bad this can go for somebody like me? Yesterday was a good day for me. I spent the whole day with my favorite person, my wife, and with two of my other favorite people, her sister and brother-in-law, Lori and Vance. It was a great day. We were in a setting that few people on the earth were, and it was great. But there came a moment when I copped an attitude because my favorite person was out of line. And I expressed it that way. Oh no, this isn't me. This is you. I think I said it at least, I know I said it at least twice. I may have said it more than twice. Oh no, this is you. Just to be clear, this attitude right here is you. And I was in a setting that called for joy. I was in a setting that called attitude. I was with my favorite person and two of my additional favorite people. I should have been going, this is the day that the Lord has made. Well, nope, this is you. And let's just kind of process through that. I was in an extraordinary situation. I didn't give God gratitude. I was with my favorite person on an ordinary day in that I'm with her every single day. And every single day that I'm with her, I ought to have reason to show gratitude. There was a moment of tension that was all her fault. And rather than bless God for the blessing that I had, I cursed, in a way, my wife. I shamed her. And I cast shade on the blessing of God. Now, it's a day later. And as it turns out, I don't think it was all her. I suppose there's a chance that it was all me. Even though in the moment I didn't feel that way. But I don't think it was all me. I think this one was an us thing. And it doesn't matter where you cut the line as far as percentages. All I know is my response was entirely out of line with somebody who should have given God praise and gratitude for the good gift that we had in yesterday. It was a good gift, and there was a moment in time that I received God's good gift as a curse. It's so easy. We do this almost weekly at work. Sometimes we become so disaffected with work that our entire experience of God's provision is one of a curse. God doesn't have that for us, loved ones. May we be people of gratitude. Also, may we be people of reverence. Give God worship that is acceptable in reverence and awe. And I'm just going to define this real quick. By reverence, here's what I'm talking about. It is a respect that is amazed by the power of the Lord God Almighty. That understanding that awesome power and that consummate holiness approaches, yes, but approaches with caution. Doesn't dilly-dally. Approaches with hope. Approaches with respect. Approaches with reverence. And awe. This is a respect that is amazed beyond God's holiness, but the fact that the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty calls us friend. Me? You are inviting me? How joyful that is. How humbling that is. Respects that is amazed by the friendship and understands the invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And approaches God with confidence that though I am marked by my sin, as I approached, he has touched me and my sin no longer marks me. And I am marked by the purifying blood of Jesus Christ. And he calls me son, he calls me daughter, he calls me friend. Doesn't goof off, but approaches with real joy. And so, loved ones, may we offer to God worship with reverence and awe that is always marked by gratitude for his kind gift of himself towards us. Jesus, according to what we've been looking at in the book of Hebrews, is a mediator of a better covenant. It's a new covenant. He has brought us not to Sinai where we fear judgment, but to Zion where we are welcomed into his presence. And there, he invites us to draw near and to worship him in the most holy place. And here's what happens when we show up. He welcomes us. He welcomes us. Oh, it's good that you're here, Jude. It is really good that you're here. And this is what I talk about when we come to church on Sunday morning. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. Have you sung that? Let me tell you. A better song is to understand that when we come into the sanctuary, it is the Holy Spirit welcoming us to his house. And there's coming a day, not just when he welcomes us into a day, not just into the house of God, but he's going to welcome us into his very courtroom, and we're going to hear with our own ears the angels saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We're going to be surrounded by people from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, who with one voice shout of his goodness, this is what we've been welcomed into. And what happens on this planet today as God's name is praised in every time zone, in every nation, with every language, over and over and over, there's going to come together a day when it's not just Calvary Assembly of God and Mount House Fellowship coming together to worship. All the people of God are going to be together with one voice, with every nation. We've been invited into the best place anybody's ever going to go. And what joy there is for that. And so we look forward to this. Upon our arrival, what's going to happen there is what happens here. You walk through the door and somebody says, "Hey, it's good to see you." We're going to walk into the gates of heaven, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are going to look at us. I don't know how the Holy Spirit looks at us. I just know He's going to do it. Glad you're here. Glad you are here. It's an amazing invitation. And it's a promised welcome. And when we understand this, we are powerfully motivated to offer to God acceptable worship. So we conclude this morning with the verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Loved ones, our God is a consuming fire. Speaking from Mount Sinai, Moses advised God's people, "Take care, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." This counsel isn't just for idolatrous Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. It's for all people who are prone to idolatry. Be cautious. Take care. For all of us, New Covenant believers and Old Covenant believers, the Lord our God is a consuming fire, and we need this, loved ones, as a corrective for church worship today. And I'm just going to say it this way. Without giving examples, let me say that there are ways that God is worshiped, and I'll put the quotes on it, in His church around this globe that are demeaning and trivialize His great name. We can be way too silly, trite, and cute as we approach our God who's a consuming fire. So trivialized, so demeaning as to become unacceptable and distasteful in the sight of God. And so may we follow the directive of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And in case you think I exaggerate the importance of this point, let these words that God spoke through the prophet Amos to His people sink in. Chapter 5, verse 21 of Amos. God says to a worshiping people, "I hate, I despise your feasts. And I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and great offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offering of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps, I will not listen." May we not approach God with such cockiness and with such silliness that He has to turn His... Well, here, I'm going to put it in a way that little kids would understand, that He would hear our worship and be tempted to do this. Not everything that is called worship in our day and age is worship. Sometimes it is fleshly excess and it needs to be excised from the body of Christ. But here's the good news. We've come to Mount Zion, the place where God's blessing touches us and transforms us. On Mount Zion, here's what we see. We see the love of God for us. As Jesus Christ, the Son of God, takes all of His people's transgressions upon Himself, so that He actually became their sin, all of it, and He received in His body the full wrath, the full punishment that every sin deserves. And if we will look at Jesus on the cross, loved ones, here's what you will see. You will see God the Son dying for your sin. You will see God the Father punishing your sin in Jesus' body on the cross. And you will in that moment see the open-armed extension and invitation to come and to be forgiven of all your sin. If you will believe in me, if you will trust me for salvation, I will give it to you freely. It is at the cross where we see our God, who is a consuming fire, with consuming love, consuming our sin in the body of Jesus Christ, so that what would prevent us from approaching God's throne with boldness is consumed by the consuming fiery love of God, and we can come boldly to our Father's house and be welcomed. If we hold on to our sin, the fact that God is a consuming fire is fearful. If we will approach God knowing that we are sinful and He is gracious, that He is consuming fire, is the best hope we ever heard. Because the sin in our life will be consumed, though we persevere and walk through. So, loved ones, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us. And also, may we see to that we obey God's word, because our God is a consuming fire. Specifically, the call to show gratitude, the call to worship with thoughtful reverence, and the call to worship with awe-filled hope, worship that is acceptable. Let me give you one habit you can create this week. It'd be nice if you can do this with somebody. But if you can't do it with somebody, at the end of each day or at some point in each day, ask yourself, what was the best part of today? What was the best part of today? Spend some time, rehearse your entire day. Take that best moment of your day and express your gratitude to God. And if you feel like worshiping, do so. The best part of my day yesterday was I spent it with my favorite person and some favorite people. And yesterday, rather than show God gratitude, I cursed the blessing. It was only this morning that I came to my senses, or rather God brought me to my senses. Thank you, Lord. Help me not to pull a curse from a blessing. Having come to Mount Zion, we have become members of an unshakable kingdom. And we are meant to worship God with thankful hearts. If you know these words, go ahead and sing them with me. Was it for crimes that I had done, he groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity.